Mark chapter 12, 10-year study in the book of Mark. And tonight, it's the Sadducees' time to try to trap Jesus or make him look foolish. You remember this Sunday, we looked at the question of tribute and whether or not, particularly the Jew, should give to Caesar, pay the poll tax that Caesar imposed upon them, or not. They tried to trap Jesus with that question, and after he answered that, they marveled at him. It says in Mark and in Matthew, it says, when they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. So they were amazed at Jesus being able to answer this, because, as we pointed out, he said, you go ahead and give that coin. Coin has Caesar's picture on it. You give that to Caesar, and you give to God the things that are God's. And, of course, that took care of both the Pharisees and the Herodians, because neither one of them did that, gave to God the things that were his. Especially that was certainly true of the Herodians. So now the Sadducees come, and they won't take their turn. And they have a different approach. Theirs is not an attempt to trap Jesus politically or with the people in the way that he had with the Pharisees and Herodians. They come with a kind of question that they believe will be so ridiculous and make the point that the resurrection is such a foolish idea that Jesus would be embarrassed by this. So let's read now, beginning with verse 18. Then come unto him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, and they ask him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife, and dying left no seed. The second took her and died, neither left he any seed. And the third likewise. And the seven had her, and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, Do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the Scriptures, neither the power of God? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead that they rise, have ye not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. Now, the Sadducees, of course, are one of the groups that make up the Sanhedrin, which was the ruling body of the Jews. Now, it is still Tuesday of the Passion Week, just a couple of days before they finally take him and have him crucified. And the Sadducees, probably not too surprised that the Pharisees had failed in their attempt to embarrass Jesus, to trap Jesus. There was no love lost between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And so they probably were not too surprised that they had failed, but they certainly didn't think they would fail. Now, this is the only mention of Sadducees in the book of Mark. Matter of fact, Mark and Luke only mention the Sadducees in this particular case. John doesn't mention them at all. They're 14 times mentioned in the Gospels and the book of Acts, that is the Sadducees. As we said, once in Mark, once in Luke, seven times in Matthew, and five times in the book of Acts, whereas the Pharisees are mentioned almost 100 times. So the Pharisees are a much more prominent group, and one in which Jesus dealt more, and though they came more to Jesus, and Jesus dealt more with them, and Jesus, by the way, was much harsher with the Pharisees than he was with the Sadducees. Now, that may be because there wasn't as much contact as there was with the Pharisees, but in any case, that seems to be the case. Now, the Sadducees were a rich and powerful group. Now, they were the aristocracy. They were rich, and very powerful. A very small group. They were a very select group. They didn't just let anybody in to the group of the Sadducees. They had a strong, they were kind of like the Mormons in this regard. They had a strong emphasis on the family tree. They were very much interested in things like this passage that had to do with the passing on of the name of a family. Let's look back in the book of Deuteronomy, if you would, in chapter 25, verse 5. If brethren dwell together, and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her, and take her to him to wife, and perform the duty of an husband's brother unto her, and it shall be that the firstborn which she bears shall succeed in the name of his brother, which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel. Very, very serious thing for a tribe to lose a family. And so this was one of the ways in which God seeing to it that the family names were carried on. And so these Sadducees, now the Sadducees, you see, they took the scriptures only. Now, that doesn't mean that they believed them, and believed them, that is, as the literal word of God. Mainly, they just took the Pentateuch. The writings of Moses was what their emphasis was upon. And so, they said this resurrection thing was just something made up for the Pharisees. Say that they had interpreted some scripture in improper manner. And they did not see resurrection in Moses' writings. And so that was primarily the thrust of this group. And by the way, they're the ones who control the high priest's office because they had the most money and the most power, although they were less of them. But by the way, after the fall of Jerusalem in 70 A.D., this group disappears. There's no further mention of Sadducees after that. Now, they rejected angels, spirits, life after death, and, of course, resurrection. So, you know, it's always amazing to me whenever I read that and talk about that. I think, well, what in the world would they want religion for if they were, you know, if they were going, why would they want morals? Why would they want religion? Why would they want anything like that if they thought whenever they died, they were dead? And there wasn't any resurrection, no life after death. You know, it's the promise of life after death, and the promise that you're going to live somewhere forever. The promise that God created us to live forever. And we're going to live forever, either in heaven or in hell. That, to me, makes the appeal of the gospel so important, to receive Christ and have eternal life, because we're going to live somewhere forever. But if I believe, like the Sadducees, that there was no life after death, no heaven, no hell, well, you know, why would you want, you know, why would you want religion? You know, I mean, just go out and live like you please and do what you want to do because, you know, whenever it's over, it's over. By the way, I think that's one of the great causes for the immorality that we see today in our country, especially in the young, because of the teaching of evolution that they've been taught from kindergarten in public schools and that there's no such thing as life after death, that the grave is the end. Well, then, if that's the truth, then you get in a big enough jam, and suicide is the perfect way out. I mean, if you believe that, you can see why the rate of suicide increases so whenever people don't hold to the doctrines of Scripture. And so these Sadducees were one of the groups, of course, the Sanhedrin. Now, let's look at this account as they come to Jesus with this story. Now, what about this? Do you believe that this was a real case? Was there such a thing as a family that had seven boys in it, and each one of them married his brother's wife in turn like this? Well, it's almost an impossibility. The odds, if you just figured the odds of such a thing happening, it would be it's just a ridiculous story to begin with. And it was made up by the Sadducees to show and to try to point out how ridiculous the promise of resurrection would be. You see, they wanted to, they could have said, well, just as it had two brothers. I mean, you know, that would have made the point, wouldn't it? I mean, you say, this brother had a wife, and he died, and she married his brother, and then he died, and then she died. Now, which of the two? I mean, that's just as big a problem, isn't it? Which of the two will have her in the resurrection? You know. But no, they got to make it to seven. They got to really build their case. So, this is obviously, probably been passed around. You know, it's like the question that, you've ever been asked it. I guess I've been asked it a half a dozen times over the years by people when you start witnessing to them and begin to pin them down about sin and something, and they start questioning the Bible, and then they'll raise the thing like, where did Cain get his wife? Well, I got a good answer for them. I just say he married his sister. See, they don't think you're going to say that. I mean, but that's the only answer there is to that. You know, married his sister. And you think, wow, that's an immoral situation. Married his sister. Well, back there as far as Cain, I don't think it's going to bother too much, coming down through the generations. You know, but it's such a ridiculous question, you know, and they're trying to make it look foolish to say that we all came from one couple, Adam and Eve. And of course, they raise those kind of questions. Well, that's the same kind of idea here. They want to make the resurrection look foolish. And so they take Moses' writing about this. See, they're accurate. Moses did say that this was the proper thing to do in order to keep the man's name here in the tribe so that future generations, his name would be still listed. So they really went all out to make this look like a ridiculous thing. So it went all the way down to seven. Now, it's interesting that they just came and called him teacher, which was not giving him honor. They didn't flatter him. They thought they were superior themselves. These folks didn't bow to anybody. Certainly not Jesus. And so they didn't try to come at him with any flattery or anything of that. They just made a straw man, and then knocked him down. But, that's an easy kind of thing to do, is set up a situation that you create, then you can knock it down. And so they did. Now, but Jesus' answer is what we want to look at, because that's the thing that really is remarkable and just so good. In verse 24, Jesus answering said unto them, "Do ye not therefore err?" Now, a better translation of that is this: "Is it not for this cause ye are deceiving yourselves?" In other words, they are deceiving themselves about resurrection. And the cause, the reason that they are deceiving themselves is within themselves. In other words, the problem, Jesus is saying, is with you. That's where the problem lies, within you Sadducees. And then he gives the two reasons. Is it not for this cause ye are deceiving yourselves? First, because ye know not the Scriptures. Now, they had quoted the Scripture. They knew, technically, Moses' writings. They knew the Pentateuch, the first five books, particularly Moses' writings. But Jesus says, you err because you don't know the Scriptures. Now, what's Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, you don't understand what you're reading. You can't understand what you're reading. One very obvious reason would be that only the Holy Spirit can interpret the Scripture, and you don't believe in Spirit. You don't accept supernatural things. You don't accept the Spirit. And so, you can't know the Scripture. You can quote it, but you don't know it. It reminds me so much of cults. You know, that's the way it is with cults. Many cults are very, very astute in their knowledge of Scripture, especially certain portions. And see, they had certain portions. They didn't take the rest of the books. They just took Moses and Moses' writings. They thought they were the most conservative of all the group because they did that. And they didn't add anything else to it, just Moses' writings. And yet they didn't know Moses' writing. And that's what Jesus is talking about. They didn't understand the Scripture. And then he's going to give them a Scripture to show them that they didn't understand the Scripture. That's one of their problems, is that they know not the Scripture. That is what the Scriptures really say. And the second thing is, you don't know the power of God. You have created in your own mind and imagination a God without power. A powerless God. You know, a God who can't raise the dead. A God who has not created man for anything but this life and this world. Now, if God can create man and put him in this life and this world, then certainly God is capable of creating life after death and of taking man from the grave, raising him from the dead, and giving him life. See? So they didn't recognize the power of God. Now, if they are going to rise from the dead, then what kind of shape, what kind of condition are they going to be in? Now, you know, I have to say this right here, that I'm glad the Pharisees, or the Sadducees, that is, asked this. Because we learn a lot about life after death here. You know, there's information given us here that isn't given us anywhere else. We wouldn't have this information if those foolish, unbelieving Sadducees hadn't have tried to show Jesus up. Make a fool out of him. Make him a laughing stock. But isn't that the way it is that God makes the wrath of men to praise him and the remainder he restrains? God let man's wrath go just far enough to bring him glory and praise. And so we find out some things here. For in verse 25, Jesus says, "For when they shall rise from the dead." Now notice a very emphatic statement. When they shall rise from the dead. Not if they shall, but when they shall. They shall. He's talking about the righteous here. And the phrase is, they shall rise from among the dead. All right? When they shall rise from among the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. There won't be any marriage in heaven. Boy, that really blows the Mormons. There is a way. And others over history who have tried to create some kind of a sensuous life after death where you have harems, more or less, and life is a wicked, sensuous kind of an idea and that sort of thing. So Jesus says they're not going to be any marrying or giving in marriage. Won't be any marrying in heaven. Won't be any marriages. But as the angels which are in heaven, didn't say we'll be angels. Some have taken this and gone with it and put wings on men and had them flying around like angels, you know, and things like that. The Bible doesn't say that we will be angels. It's just too far for most of us to go, no. We will, of course, actually be above the angels whenever we get there to heaven. But the angels are sexless beings. They do not propagate. There are the same number of angels tonight that there were when God created angels in the beginning. There has never been a death amongst the angels. Now, there have been, of course, in the beginning, when Lucifer sinned, he led a third of the angels in the fall. And so we have fallen angels, but the angels do not reproduce. There is no marrying or giving in marriage amongst angels. And neither will there be amongst humans in heaven. The people who get there by the grace of God through the blood of Christ, that group of people who will get there will be the same number, whatever that final tally and total will be, will continue to be. There will be no death. There will be no dying. There will be no reproduction, no bringing forth of babies. There will be no babies. You couldn't have them. You couldn't have crying, could you? You know. But there will be just exactly the same number as were redeemed by the blood. And that's the number they will always be. Now, the scriptures teach very clearly that we will have the same body that we have now, only it will be, scripture calls it, a spiritual body, a new body, be like unto his body. That doesn't mean we'll look like him, but it means our body will be like his body. We'll look like we look now. I hope some of us, maybe get a little better looking. We won't have to wear glasses, I'm sure of that. There won't be any infirmities or anything that way. It's the eternal morning over there, eternal day. No night, no death, no pain, no suffering. But the redeemed will be the same throughout all the endless ages from then on. It'll be that redeemed group, you see, in heaven. Now, also, of course, I think it's very clear that even though we know our loved ones and we know, we won't love them any more than we love anybody else in heaven because we will love perfectly. No sin in our heart, no hatred or anything of that nature. And so there will be perfect fellowship, perfect love. It's going to be a wonderful place, a wonderful thing when we all get to heaven. Now, so Jesus straightened them out. He blew everything apart when he said there won't be any marriage. So you don't know the scriptures. You are deceiving yourselves. The problem is within you Because you don't know the Word of God. You don't know what the Scriptures teach. And you don't know the power of God. Now, here's what the Scriptures teach. In verse 26 he says, "And as touching the dead, that they rise, have ye not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush..." Now you see they didn't have chapter and verse, and this was one of the ways in which a portion of Scripture was referred to. And so immediately they knew when he said, the book of Moses, how in the bush, that brought back the incident of God speaking to Moses in the burning bush. "God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Now notice, God's name is listed three times because there are three individuals. He didn't say, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." He said, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." See, God is the God of the individual, not of the group. God is the God of the individual. Salvation is an individual thing. We have to individually trust Christ. It's not what our mother, our father, or somebody else did. You can't pass it down individually. Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. Isaac believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And Jacob believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, each one of them listed individually. Now, he said that God said to Abraham, "I am the God of these three men." Not "I was the God when they were alive, but I am now." That's what God said to Moses when these men were dead. As far as this life is concerned, you see, anybody who knew the Scripture would understand that. But, that is, if they knew God and understood what the Scripture said, they would understand that for God to say that, they would have to be still alive. They would have to be still living. For He is presently, at that moment, at the time He spoke to Moses, He was their God. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. "Ye therefore do greatly err." Now, so Jesus put them into shock. As a matter of fact, it says, if you notice in the next verse, one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well. It was obvious to the people that Jesus had answered the Sadducees well. So now he is taking on the Pharisees and Herodians, and then the Sadducees, and we're going to see some others as we go into the rest of this chapter, just another one or two, and then no man durst ask him any more questions. For that brings it to an end. Now, in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 42, the Scripture says, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body." There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so this body of ours, if we die before the Lord comes, will be put in the grave, and the body will corrupt. But whenever the Lord starts to descend from heaven, the trump of the archangels, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which remain shall be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye, and caught up together with Him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, the dead Their body is already decayed and corrupt, but the living are just as corrupt. Our bodies are just as corrupt. We haven't decayed yet, won't until we die, but our bodies are still under the curse of sin. We have not received the redemption of the body as yet. That's what we're going to get. That's what's going to happen, of course, at the rapture when the Lord Jesus comes back. So these Sadducees were way off base, but we learn a great deal about the future state of things from what Jesus told them.